And good morning. Welcome to the Prosper Leader Member Call. This is where we gather twice a month. And the purpose is a couple-fold. First of all, when God had me start this, it was about community. It was about women linking arms and helping each other across their personal finish line. So this is a place I touch in twice a month, and then we often have master classes. Like, we just finished the Partner with God a whole week. If you haven't had a chance to watch that, it was powerful. God really moved. But that's my chance to bring some insights, ability to keep you growing and thinking, and then together we support each other in advancing in our goals, dreams, and desires. So we are, if you're listening to this in real time, we are now officially in the final fourth quarter of the year. And I like having markers to keep me on track so that the days don't just blend and all of a sudden another year is gone. And so you notice that, you know, at the half year mark, I send you some things at the last quarter. I send you some things at the end of the year. And there's a saying that I like, which is inspect what you expect. And so you, at the beginning of the year, you set some goals and you have some desires and some dreams for the year. And this is a pause point. Not only because it is the, you know, the start of the final quarter of the year, and this is really the time that you can be making important decisions. What that I'm doing in my business or in my health or in my spiritual life is really no longer serving me. Maybe it is no longer giving me joy. Maybe it's no longer profitable. Maybe it's not aligned with where God is taking you. And so it's also, interestingly enough, we just entered the Jewish New Year last week. And I had a conversation with a woman that really hit me, a Jewish woman. And this just like hit me so hard. When I was talking about the Jewish New Year, she says, yes, she says, we look at it like this in Judaism. She says, this season right now, because there's the repentance and there's the New Year. She says, it's like you take your purse and dump it out, all out on the floor. And so everything is all out there where you can see it. And then you take a look at what you want to have go back into the purse. And I think if we do that metaphor with a lot of prayer and a lot of insight, you see, one of the things that I think that we do is we're creatures of habit. You probably noticed that, right? You brush your teeth the same way. You sleep on the same side of the bed. You sit in the same place in church. You tie your shoes the same way. We're creatures of habit. And so we get in this just kind of mode and we just kind of keep going. But often we're doing things that are either not right for the season or not right for our season because we've grown, we've changed. And yet we're still building the business that we started 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. And we're doing it old ways, based on who we were then. And so, you know, one of my coaches, she really encourages us to do a relaunch, a rebrand every 2 or 3 years, because every 2 or 3 years, we're completely different. And there's things that no longer spark joy. There's things that are no longer in line with what God is showing. And in the external world, things are really, really, really changing right now. And what has really hit me that I want to address as we kind of dump all the contents of our purse out and take a look. What do we want to keep? What do we want to let go of? What do we want for the season? What pieces do we need to pick up to finish this year and have it be everything we hope for? What things do we need to release that we don't want to carry into the new year? And so it's a time of evaluation. And here's what I see. We are entering into a time of massive disruption, massive, like the world has never known. You know, history has these points that we had disruption. Think about the Industrial Revolution. Think about that. When machines could begin doing everything that people had to do manually in the past. And 97% of jobs were completely decimated in the Industrial Revolution. And of course, new opportunities opened. The thing that has changed with the revolution we're going into with the AI is that had time to adjust. The Industrial Revolution didn't happen in a day. It happened, you know, over decades. And so there was a little bit more of an adjustment period. What's coming with AI, with robots, with how information and technology is shifting, the disruption is going to be so quick and so intense over the coming months. Over the coming months, the next 12 to 24 months, we're barely going to recognize our lives, how we live, how things are done. And it's going to bring a lot of confusion. So there's going to be the disruption factor. Many jobs are going to be obsolete because they'll be done better by robots, better by AI. I mean, you know, AI has already shown it can pass the medical exam. It can pass the legal exam. It's an applied, you know, large language learning model, which means it's getting smarter, getting smarter, getting smarter. We're feeding it, you know, the 100 million plus, and that's even an old number. People that are using it are feeding it. It's gaining knowledge. It's getting smarter, smarter, smarter. Okay. And it's predicted there's a place of singularity where it's going to be smarter than we are. Now, that has good sides. That is kind of like when the internet opened up, we've got access to a level of intelligence and knowledge that humankind has never had access to. It also means that once again, many careers are going to become completely irrelevant because robots and AI will be able to do it faster, better, smarter. And so that's one dimension, is where am I in the middle of this storm? As the winds are blowing, you know, Jesus talked about building on the rock. As the winds are blowing, where am I? Is what I am offering, the service, the products I'm offering, are they still relevant? Will they still be relevant over these next 12 to 24 months? Now, the way to go through that is to get super clear on who you are, because who God made you and the direct access that you have to the heavenly realm, the knowledge of the universe, our God, is bigger than any AI. But if we're not plugged in, there's going to be disorientation. It's going to be very difficult, as we're already learning and already having all the legal battles, to be able to sort through, what am I watching? Is it true? Is it real? Is it really that person talking, or is it the AI version of them? Would they really say that? Can I believe this? Is this truth? And so there's going to be this whole sorting of what's real, what's true, what can I lean on, what can I stand on, and who am I, what am I made of, What am I made for? If you're not taking time to answer these questions prayerfully, connected to the Holy Spirit, we must remember who we are. We are created in the image and likeness of God. We have full access to the mind of Christ, Scripture says. That means I have access to infinite knowledge, infinite wisdom, infinite understanding, but I have to be tuned in and tapped into that. So I want to read you something to really get you thinking. I want to pray, and I want to talk about this in community as to how we're going to respond. Community is going to become more and more and more important. But let me read you this. This is from the book called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And it's the chapter that's dealing with silence and solitude, which as the noise increases, increases, this is not going to be a luxury. It's going to be an absolute necessity. If you are going to have that direct connection to infinite intelligence and infinite understanding, if you're going to tap into the Spirit of God and who God says you are, God says that you're seated in high places with Christ, that God says that things we beyond what we can ever imagine that we have access to. And so, but we have to be in the practice and the understanding on how to tap into not just the Logos word, the written word, not religion, not just old history, but tap into life now. Rhema, revelation, knowledge. What is God doing now in the world? Where's the gaps? Where's the opportunities? Because this is going to present enormous opportunities. Where's the gaps? As machines and robots are doing more and more and more, where can you come in and do what it can't do? And where, what makes you completely unique? What makes you who you are that can never be replicated? And what is God wanting to do in you and through you in this season? So as we evaluate in this last quarter, in this enormous season of change, we have to evaluate technically, where you have to go, is what I'm doing working? Is my lead generation system working? Is my email system, is like my processes, like is what I'm doing relevant to go forward? And what works really well that I need to do more of? And what absolutely has fallen flat that I need to release, either because it no longer sparks joy in me or because it's no longer working in this marketplace? And so I sent you an evaluation to work on, to let you take a really deep look. Who am I now? What lessons did I learn? What worked really well? What do I love? What's super important? You know, just a deep evaluation. And second, time, silence, and solitude with God. And so, so what we saw with Jesus is that no matter how busy he was and throngs during his time of ministry, he was so busy, he could not even hardly get away. And what we saw is he would always, it's all the way through Scripture, he would go and he would find solitude, which is different than isolation. Isolation is where I'm afraid, I'm not stepping out, I'm hiding, I feel alone, I feel isolated. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Difference between solitude and isolation. Solitude is where I'm in communion with God and I'm expansive and I'm purposeful and I'm doing this for a reason to stay connected with this this mind of Christ, this infinite intelligence and infinite possibilities. So throughout church history, if you go back all the way through church history, silence and solitude were the most important of the spiritual disciplines. And yet, because We cannot be still and know that I am God, right? The verse, be still, because we have not learned to be still, not only outside that we can't be still, we always have noise, but we haven't learned to discipline our minds, to stop the chatter, to learn how to truly meditate and be in communion with God. And so instead, we've got a commentary going on in our head all the time, reviewing conversations, and reviewing what we would do different, and reviewing what we're afraid about. And we got noise on the inside, noise on the outside. And whereas there would be times of quiet in our life in the past, now if there's an instant of quiet, what do? We grab the phone. Let me check my posts. Let me go ahead and check my emails. What's the weather going to be? I got to send that. And we're constantly go, go, go. And we don't have any solitude. And so it says, without solitude, it's virtually impossible to live a spiritual life. So in this time of evaluation, solitude is going to become even more important. You've got to build your house on the rock and not the sand. And so I want to read this to you just to get you thinking. I posted this on my LinkedIn. It hit me so hard. And so it said, when we don't practice the Jesus soul habit of solitude, this is what happens. See if this is happening in your life. Has this started sneaking into your life? As we evaluate in this quarter, is this true for you? Number one, we feel distant from God and end up living off of somebody else's spirituality. Now, let me ask you that. Are you living off of rhema, direct knowledge from God? Are you in the Word and getting something new every day? Are you journaling? I've taught you how to journal and ask God questions and use two-color gel pens. Like, are you getting direct spiritual food that is keeping you alive? Or are you being like a baby bird that, you know, mama bird has to chew up the worm, chew it up, and come and feed you a little bit of regurgitated little chewed up worms? Is your spiritual life regurgitated, relying on the next podcast and the next sermon, but no direct access? So that's the first thing that happens. We feel distant from God and we end up living off of somebody else's spirituality via a podcast feed, a book, a one-page devotional we read before we rush out the door to work. Number two, we feel distant from ourselves. We lose sight of our identities and our calling. Think about that. We get sucked into the tyranny of the urgent and not the important. Number three, we feel an undercurrent of anxiety that rarely, if ever, goes away. The sense that we're always behind, always playing catch up, and never done. Then we get exhausted. We wake up and our first thoughts are, already, I can't wait to go to bed. We lag through our days. Our low grade energy on loan from our stimulants of choice. And even when we catch up on our sleep, we feel a deeper kind of tired. Then we turn to our escapes of choice. We run out of energy to do what's actually life-giving for our souls, like prayer. And instead, we turn to the cheap fix, another glass of wine, a new show streaming online, our social media feeds, porn. So we become easy prey for the tempter, just furthering our sense of distance from God and our souls. Then emotional unhealth sets in. We start living from the surface of our lives, not the core. We're reactionary. The smallest thing is a trigger, a throwaway line from the boss, a snide comment from a coworker, a suggestion from a spouse. It doesn't take much, and we lose our tempers We bark at our kids. We get offensive. We sulk. We feel angry or sad, often both. This is the result of not having silence and solitude as a spiritual practice, so that we are constantly in touch with who we are and what God has for us in this season. And on the flip side, what's possible if we can learn to find our quiet places that we can go to and have that place to come away and just be with God. And we can take our time. You know, maybe it's not a full hour. Maybe it's just, 15 minutes, but it's time of total peace where we learn to quiet the mind, quiet the body, feel our breathing, and just have peace. Enter into his rest. So we slow down, we breathe, and we come back to the present. I've talked to you so much. Everything that you want is in the now, right here. It's not in the past. Every time you go in the past, you're going into blame, shame, guilt, regret, nostalgia about something that you cannot change. Or if we're going forward, then we get into fear, doubt, worry, anxiety. What if? So we got your coulda, woulda, shouldas. We got we're what ifs, and we're not living. And the miracles, the answers to prayer, the joy, the peace, the fruits of the spirit, love, joy, peace, those high frequency things that bring healing to the body, they're only in the now. But you can only get in the now if you get conscious of the now. You've got to be in this present moment. And so when we do, when we breathe, when we come back to the present, then we start to feel. Now, for a lot of people, this is why they avoid it, because usually the lower frequency feelings come up first, and we go, we feel sad, we feel lonely, we feel disappointed, we feel scared, we feel angry. That stuff has to come through us so it can be released and not trapped in ourselves causing dis-ease. And then it will allow us to start tapping into the gratitude and the joy and the peace and the love. And we start hearing from God, and we start realizing that we don't have to try to get anything, that everything's already inside of us, that we're the temple of the Holy Spirit, that infinite love, infinite wisdom, infinite potential, infinite joy lives in us, that he came to give us peace that passes all understanding, joy. Jesus, I came that my joy may be full in you. And so then we're able to face things in our heart, our worry, our depression, all of that. And we're able to start releasing those things that don't serve us. And we can start living the life that God has for us. So I want you to think about that. On the external world, looking at, is what I'm doing in business, is it still working? Is it still filling me with joy? And is what I'm doing for my spiritual life, for my physical life, for my emotional life, for my mental life, is it working? Or am I just trying to get by on regurgitated food and stimulates and rush, rush, rush? So if there was ever a season to tap into who you really are, and have that anchor, and the Bible says that he sets our feet on a rock, and he puts a new song in our mouth, and it's a song of praise to God. And so this can be such a beautiful season in your life if we take the time to do that. So I'm going to pray. Instead of praying at the beginning, I'm going to pray at the end and right now, and then we're going to get together and mastermind. So I'm going to pray for you in this season right now. Okay. So Father God, I just pray for every single woman that is watching this live or in the recording. I'm asking, Lord, that these words will penetrate deep into her spirit, into her soul, into her mind, into her heart. And I'm asking that you will speak truth. Like David said, you desire truth in our inner being. I'm asking that you will begin to reveal truth. What things has she been doing that has been eroding at her soul, eroding at her heart, crushing her physically, emotionally, relationally, spiritually? I'm asking for a spirit of revelation to flow, that you will reveal to her those things that you don't want her to carry. You said that your yoke is easy and your burden is light. I'm asking that you'll reveal, what are the heavy things that she's carrying? Guilt, shame, unforgiveness, bitterness, the things that are eroding at her physical structure and her emotional structure. What are those things? Reveal those. I pray for revelation knowledge, revelation light to flow, that all will come forth in the light. And I pray that you will strengthen her with might in her inner woman to use her God-given ability to choose. To choose you, to choose to make time for those things that really matter, for the relationships that matter and let go the ones that don't, for the activities that matter and let go of the ones that don't, for the thoughts and the emotions that matter and process and release the ones that don't. I'm asking, Lord, that as we start this new season, a new quarter, and a new season in history, I'm asking for that revelation knowledge to flow, for courage to rise up. That thing that you've been speaking to her to do, that she's supposed to teach or speak or coach or create or invent or write, that thing that's been in her that she's been suppressing because she's afraid and think she's not enough, I'm asking that this will be a season of breakthrough, that she'll step into new habits. She'll write a little bit every day, or she'll read a little bit every day, or she'll speak, that she'll reach out and start, however flimsy. I'm asking that courage will rise up inside of her for her to do the things that she knows she's called to do, the things she knows she was born to do. I'm asking, Lord, for that revelation knowledge, courage, and the ability to choose. Choose you, choose to walk in integrity, authenticity, choose to show up fully and stop hiding. Lord, I'm asking that for every Prosper woman. And I'm asking for this community, that these women will grow in love toward each other, and that they'll have compassion and passion to do this together, because in this season, isolation is not going to work. We need each other. So I'm asking that you gather the women and that they courageously show up for each other. And I'm asking all of that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I pray that has blessed you. Let's go into the mastermind and talk about it.